the issue of hope, particularly at Christmas time. And so we started out with the idea of understanding hope in the Bible, that hope in the Bible is different from hope in the world. And I used this illustration with a string, and I said, hope in America, hope in our culture, represents possibility. And so I use this, and by the way, I've already been critiqued on this between me and Jimmy. So I understand, let's understand very clearly, he's 30 years younger than I am, all right? So he has no problem lifting this block. I, on the other hand, somebody told me this week, they're like, you got to get something lighter if you're going to use it for an illustration, because he made it look effortless. And I talk about the idea of, and we use this idea that if I took this string and tried to lift this block, and we did that the first week of the series, and it broke right away. Why? Because there was a possibility, there was a hope that this could lift that block. And then I brought out this rope, and I said, is there any question as to whether or not this will lift this block? Now, not me, but this. And no, there's not. There's no. You knew that this was going to be able to handle that load. And we talked about the difference that in the Bible, hope is not possibility, but rather certainty. And we laid out that principle that when the Bible talks about hope, the Bible looks at it from the concept of certainty, of an absoluteness, not a possibility. And we just talked about how important that is that we understand that. And then we went back, so we looked at that idea of hope in the Old Testament. Then we looked at hope in the original creation story. And we talked about how Adam and Eve really messed stuff up. And God came in and he gave them hope. And then we see the gospel message, the gospel story, this really the precursor, if you will, to the Christmas story. And we learned there that hope has two things. It has the idea, it's based on the certainty that he was going to bruise his head and wound his head and then bruise his heel. And we talked about the idea that it also focuses on the idea of a future aspect. And we talked about that idea that even though when God gives Adam and Eve hope, it wasn't something that was going to happen right away. It was something that was going to happen literally almost 2,000 years later. And so we talked about that idea, and we talked about the fact that when we deal with hope from a biblical perspective, it also has this future aspect. And then the corollary to that, or the other aspect of that is, since it's future, it requires patience on our part. In the story of Adam and Eve, Jesus wasn't going to be born on the scene until 2,000 years later. And then last week, Jimmy talked about the idea of hope was in a person, in the person of Jesus Christ as a Savior. And we talked about the idea, he talked about this concept of this idea that Jesus Christ was coming as a Savior because we need to be saved from something, and that's sin. And that sin separates us from God. So Jesus Christ was going to have to come onto the scene in order to die for us, in order to be a Savior for us that we could accept or reject. And so we've talked about hope with all of those aspects. Now this morning, we're going to look at the familiar Christmas story. I'm going to look at it from four different quick accounts. And then we're going to tie all of this together so you can actually see all of these aspects played out in the actual birth of a baby. And so this morning we're looking at that concept, the idea that hope is really found in a baby in a Christmas story. So with that in mind, let's look at a couple of passages. Here's the first one. First of all, you see the hope that is given to Joseph where it says, the angel says, she will give birth to a son. You will give him the name Jesus. And again, just what Jimmy talked about last week, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then you see the angels. And the angel says, for an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, talking about the shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And then you have the response of the shepherds. And it says, the shepherds said, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about. So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning him, what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. And then a little while later, probably at least a year, the wise men. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked him, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and we have come to worship him. So, four different accounts, four different people involved or groups involved in this. You have, first of all, the angel coming to Joseph. You have the angels themselves. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this for a moment. Think about the birth of Jesus from heaven's perspective. They all knew this was going to happen. And they actually got to see, and again, I'm going to talk about this in a second when we talk about the incarnation. They actually got to see God himself wrap himself in humanity as a baby. You wonder why the whole angelic host peels back to announce this thing to shepherds? I mean, this was an amazing event from heaven to even watch play out. And so all of a sudden, you have then the angels and the response of the angel. And then you have the shepherds who come and they want to see this baby. They want to see this event. And then later you have the Magi who show up and they say, now here's the thing I want you to understand. We've talked for 3 weeks about hope. You watch all of these principles play out now. When they come to worship Jesus, is there a possibility that he will save people from their sins? No, it's a certainty. It's an absolute certainty that this is going to happen. And in fact, they act as if it has already been a done deal. But it hasn't been. He's still a baby. He's still going to have to live another 33 plus years. He's still going to have to go to a cross. He's still going to have to come out of a tomb, but not in the mind of any of the people involved in this story. Why? Because as we said, hope is not possibility, it is certainty. That's why the early Christians, you go to the early catacombs of Christians, and often on the catacombs or on the tombstone, the Christianity is symbolized with an anchor. The hope that they have, the fact that it is solid, it is not moving, it is constantly there, and it is absolute. So there's that constant idea of certainty when they talk about the hope that we have in Christ, the hope that we have in God. So one of the things that you see in the story is you see that absolute certainty as a done event. However, you also see something that is future. He will save his people from his sin. And then you see the idea of they've got to patiently wait for this whole thing to play out. There are some things in the Bible, I don't care how long you study them. I don't care how long you pray about them. I don't care how long you dig into them. You will never be able to wrap your head around it. And one of those is the incarnation. One of those is this idea of the Christmas story. Depending on how you say it, Augustine or Augustine of Hippo, he was a early bishop in the church. Listen to what he said. Okay? And I'm going to pause because this is deep, but it'll make some sense if you think about it. Here's what he said about this story. Man's maker was made man. that he, the ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that bread might hunger, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on its journey, that truth might be accused of false witnesses, that the teacher be beaten with whips, that the foundation be suspended on wood, that strength might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, and that life might die. You can't wrap your head around this stuff. But this is the Christmas story. This is what the Savior was willing to do for you and for me. This is the thing that we're talking about that gives us hope, not of possibility, but of certainty when we're talking about this. It is the idea that it is certain. It is the idea, on the other hand, that this is something that when Jesus is born is future because it hasn't happened. And so as we talk about this, as we think about this Christmas story, a couple of applications for us. First of all, I want you to understand this morning that you can have an assurance of heaven. Not so many people, so many religions, so many religious systems focus on the possibility of spending eternity with God. You know, you do these things and you check these boxes and you do all of this stuff, then maybe God will accept you in the end. So their entire hope on Christ is focused on the possibility that maybe God will let you in. No, the Christmas story is not about hope with possibility. The Christmas story is about hope with certainty. That I know that my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. I know that absent from the body is present with the Lord. My wife and I had the opportunity to get away last weekend for our 40th anniversary. And one of the things that happens is we're old enough now to be people of routine. Okay? You know what that means? That means don't mess with my world. Okay? I have my world. I'm comfortable with my world. So we went away. We spent 4 days away. And so we get in the motel and... For me, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in a different place, it takes you a few moments to get orientated, to realize, oh yeah, that's right, I'm not in my room. We're in a motel. So I'm sleeping on a different side. Everything's different. So it takes me a while for my brain to register everything that's going on. Okay. So. When you think about the idea of heaven and death for the Christian, it's interesting because the Bible, when it talks about death for a Christian, the analogy that it uses is sleep. Okay? And that's why when Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so the concept is very simply this for me as a Christian. One day, I will take my last breath, my heart will beat for its last time, and I will open my eyes and I will be in heaven. And I'm sure it's just like staying in a motel where you're kind of going, okay, what? Whoa, you know, this is not what I, that's the concept for me. But there is an assurance, like Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It is just simply a step from this world to that world. And that's what's so important for us to understand, is that there are people who are going through life who don't have that kind of assurance. Their hope is in something like this. And you need to know, God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever calls on him shall be saved. It's the idea, the concept is, it is a confidence, not will be, or not can be, not maybe be, not possibility. It's the idea of will be saved. It's the idea of that assurance, of knowing that for sure. Listen, if you're here this morning, you don't know that. Here's what you need to understand. The Christmas story is all about having hope in Christ, in the concept of confidence, of an absoluteness. And that's the one thing that you see about this story, is the idea that hope has a certainty about it. And I trust that you have that certainty. The other thing about hope in the Christmas story, particularly a baby in a manger, is the idea that hope focuses on the future, not on the present. I think that's so important that we understand. Again, I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago. We were not created for this world. We were created as eternal beings. We were created for eternity, not for this world. And yet so many of us spend our lives focused on this world. Think about it for a second. Some of you, we've already had our Christmas, so, you know, we all got together and opened up presents and all that kind of thing. And there are two different kinds of people that I've learned when it comes to Christmas. There are people who really focus on the wrapping and the decoration and all that stuff, and that's really important to them. God bless you. That ain't me. There are other people who, you know what? It's all about what's in the package. So when we had our Christmas thing on Friday night, people came in, Aaron, Gene, Alex, Jethro, who's in the habit right now of liking Mickey Mouse stuff, he had a Mickey Mouse bag. Okay. Alden, who's a dinosaur kid, he had a dinosaur bag with his stuff in it. Okay. That's all that. JT walks in. He's got the Amazon package that was delivered. Okay. So, and I know the only reason he got that is because Aaron didn't get a hold of it beforehand. Because if Aaron had gotten a hold of it, it wouldn't have been the Amazon package. You know, JT's like, here, Merry Christmas. That's a difference. That's a difference with all. But here's the thing. Do you spend all of your time on the wrapping? Or do you focus on what's inside in the gift? Tomorrow there's going to be some people that you're going to be at your deal if you haven't done Christmas yet or whenever you do Christmas. And you know what? They've got it all wrapped up and everything. Can you imagine just standing there and going, I don't want to unwrap it. It's just so pretty. I just want to sit here and look at the wrapping. You're not going to do that. If you are, you ain't right. I mean, we all want what's inside. We all want to know what's in that package. And so we're all focused on what's in that package. Listen. Think of yourself in those terms. This world, it's all about the outside. But inside you, there is a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. And that is what's really valuable, and that's what's really important. All the stuff that's going to happen to this body, all the stuff that happens in this world, all the stuff that you've gone through this year, it's all wrapping. It's not what life is about. What life is about is that which is inside of you, which is going to live somewhere forever. That's what life is about. Because that is who you were created for, to be that eternal being that's going to live somewhere forever. Not necessarily that one that you're spending all the time. And look, you all look great. It's awesome. Cleaned yourself up. Look nice, I'm not in my sweatpants and my orange t-shirt. It's great, I'm not saying it, but this isn't me. This is my shell, this is my tent. Literally, in fact, when we talk about the Christmas story, John chapter 1, that's what John argues. And the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, the world is tented. And he tented among us. These are tents. Nothing more than that. And one day, these tents will be gone. And that which is eternal, our soul, our being, will live on somewhere forever. It is about the future. That's what you see in hope. Just as in the Christmas story, it's about the future. A Savior going to the cross. But here's the tricky part. because it's future, you have to be patient. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. It was true in the creation story with Adam and Eve. Look, he's gonna bruise your heel, you're gonna wound his head, but you know what? That's gonna be $2,000. You gotta be patient. I'm gonna work out my plan, I'm gonna put all the pieces together, I'm gonna work out everything, and when the time is right, Jesus is gonna come on the scene as a baby. When he comes on the scene as a baby, you have to be patient because you know what? He is the Savior of the world. But in order to do that, he's going to have to live 33 years here. And live a sinless life in order to be able to be that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. It's patient. I think one of the things that is different for me as I get older, and I understand that, you know, you have to ask yourself, what's the thing that really makes heaven heaven for you? And the reality of it is this, the thing that makes heaven heaven is Jesus Christ. But I will say this, as I get older, as I do more funerals, heaven gets a little sweeter. And one of the things that has to happen for me is I have to learn to be patient. I love my life. I love my wife, my kids, the life that I have. It's awesome. But you know what? Some of you know this. Don't cry for me when I'm gone. A, it's been a great run. And B, what I am going to. You guys are awesome. But you ain't nothing like where I'm going. Why? Because there is a patience in waiting until that time comes. So as long as you're breathing here this morning, God still wants to use you and God's got a plan for you and you got to go figure out what that is. But what you need to understand is one of the things that happens in the Christian life, we get tired of just keep plugging away. And we get tired of doing. Listen to what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Galatia, to those Christians. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. As you therefore have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those who are in the household of faith. He writes to these people and he says, listen, one of the problems you're going to have is you're not going to want to be patient and wait until harvest. Harvest is coming. Be patient. Keep plugging away. Keep being faithful. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Oh, but, you know, every time I turn around, I do what's right, and then I watch this guy who cuts all the corners and lies and cheats and steals and everything else, and he's the one that's gaining. Yeah, for now. For now. Don't be weary in well doing. Keep doing what you need to do and do what's right. Keep plugging away, because my hope is future-focused in confidence and certainty of that which awaits me. So you know what? Until that day comes where I step from this world to that world, I need to work on me being faithful to that which God has called me to do. You keep plugging away. Because one of the things that you see about hope, it has a future deal, but it's going to require patience. These people, some of them, we're going to watch Jesus die on a cross. And we're going to live that 33 years. Mary is one of them. And she's standing there while her son is hanging on a cross. While the Son of God is dying for us. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you don't have this kind of assurance, please, 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 please talk to one of them. It is so important. It is so important that you understand Jesus Christ came so we can have that kind of confidence. It is an absolute certainty that you can possess. Not a possibility. So I end this morning with this idea and this concept. The Christmas story is a story of hope. It provided salvation for everyone willing to accept God's great gift. It cost Jesus everything. It cost me nothing. I pray that you have that kind of assurance and that kind of hope that comes with accepting the gift of salvation. May each of us share that story of Christmas with a world that desperately needs Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time. Most importantly, Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you would come to be able to be our Savior, to be able to give us a hope that is certain future for those of us who put our faith and trust in you. So, Lord, for those who are still struggling with this, Lord, would you help them to understand the necessity of trusting you and you alone? For those of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ, would you help us, Lord, to live in such a way that people see you in us? We'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise. These things we ask in your name. Amen.